last two pages. We're two best friends who love to read. Just don't keep it to themselves. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Megan. And on this episode, we'll be talking about our favorite tropes. Round two.
Deuces.
You guys really liked me did this last time. So we figured, why not talk about them again? Because honestly, tropes are kind of what make the world go round.
And make the books book.
They be booking.
Booked. Absolutely.
Word. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Living in chaos. Training is happening.
Your eyes look so pretty right now. This shirt you're wearing, she's wearing like a stone blue shirt
Does
right now.
And it's making
your eyes look blue on the edge.
I have blue in my eye.
You're like a melting pot in there.
I really am. I've got green, brown, blue.
And hazel.
Well, that
I think the brown
hazel is green and brown,
right?
I always wanted purple eyes, though.
Word.
I always like. Ugh. Come on. For why? If I'm a mermaid, ever. Purple eyes.
Really? That would be your choice. I wish I had like more like gray eyes than I do, because my eyes are blue, but then they like have that little bit of gray in them where it's like. Not a true blue, but it doesn't, it's like not enough. It just kind of makes my blue eyes look silvery and not like intense gray. But I don't want to look like that Miley Cyrus picture. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I do think you need more ice in there.
Ice.
Yeah. I think that would be everything. We should just dye our eyes.
Apparently Lumify, those like eye drops are really good for that. So
to like change your eyes.
They're like, they make your eyes brighter. And like allegedly, I have no idea, but you can get them on my benefit, so I kind of want to go get them.
I like my the one trend on Bookstagram I ever started was match the your eye to your books, and that was really cute. And when people did it, I was shocked, and it was really adorable.
We should redo it.
I should.
That's a good one.
It was a good one.
So much fun.
It was.
Not like Ugh. Your eyes have changed, but maybe the books that you would choose have changed.
True dat.
True dat.
How are you?
Good.
God,
not much to report.
Just working, clerking
working away. Yeah.
You look like Renee Rapp right now. For those tuning in on YouTube,
slay.
It is. It's.
I know. I was like, this shirt is normally something that I would wear to work, but I do look like a lesbian in it today. So, feeling the love. It is almost Pride Month. So.
June, my birthday.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Everybody wish me happy birthday.
Right now.
Even though it's June 29th.
Very nice. My sweet little cancer angel.
You have a bunch of us. You can't say that.
No, that's very true. Almost all my friends are cancers.
All my Almost. Friends are cancers. We are emotional.
And I can relate to that because I am a Pisces rising. But every other part of me is like... Sagittarius and wants to bring your neck.
It really, that means so little. Aren't I a Gemini moon? Does that mean I'm two-faced?
That's not because you're Gemini moon. I think that's I think that's just because you're a bitch.
That's so valid of you to say that. So I get it.
I would have to look at your chart again. I'm not sure where that, you know,
yes doctor,
two-facedness comes from.
Check my chart and re-prescribe me.
It's a bitches on your dick.
Why was the first drug I could think of was xylophone? And xylophone is not a drug.
Are you thinking of like Ozempic?
Or xylitol, which also isn't a drug. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Anyway.
Your medical anomaly, if nothing else. So tropes. We are on round two of tropes. We figured like... Yeah. Did we have a favorites trope, like a favorite trope episode? Absolutely. But that did not even scratch the surface of the amount of tropes that we both love and probably the ones that you love. So we'll probably have another one about our least favorite tropes because there are plenty of those as well. But we thought this would be a great place to do it. So what is a trope, Teresa?
A trope is the word trope can refer to any type of figure of speech, theme, image, character, or plot element that is used many times.
Very true. Very true.
Which that means very little to me when I like read that definition. Oh, you know,
what would you call a trope?
A trope is just plot points you use to build story.
Interesting. Interesting.
Well, situations.
Yeah. People.
Develop situations. Yeah. Which is basically what I said, but.
Easier for your brain to comprehend. Yeah, I totally get it. So yeah, no. So tropes are super important. We felt like, you know, sometimes people think they're spoilers. Sometimes they definitely are spoilers. But you know what? It's a good way to know what you're getting into before you just like dive right in. So.
Absolutely.
In our previous episode, we talked about our favorites, which were forced proximity,
mm-hmm.
enemies to lovers,
ugh.
And fated mates. Those are like top tier electric. But we came with some new ones. So our first one we wanted to talk to you guys about was fake dating.
And this is seen all the time. Fake datings. Hunger Games, also fake dating, I just realized.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
fake dating's great.
It's everywhere, and I love it. I really do.
Why do you love it?
I think because it usually forces two people that I guess usually wouldn't have gotten together, but one of them has feelings for the other. It's always. One of them has a little crush, and then it ends up they get put in the situation, and then they like pretend to date, and then the other one, it gives them time to catch up.
Right.
And be like, oh, wait a second.
Do I like this? Am I into this?
Are we about to kiss right now?
It's like the Brittany Broski kombucha video.
Mm-hmm.
The one that made her famous. Like that's what fake dating is. I find that it also brings along the other trope, I guess, of she falls first, he falls harder.
Oh,
like all the time.
Definitely.
All the time. Definitely. So it's a great like melting pot for miscommunication.
Oh yeah.
For, you know, this was really nothing. Oh,
it really is the best place for miscommunication to thrive.
Right. Because there's a reason behind the miscommunication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And our example of one we both love, which technically were fakes because we didn't read this book, but
not yet.
We want to, and it's just too good to ignore. The Duke of Hastings and Miss Bridgerton.
Daphne Bridgerton. From The Duke and I, from Julia Quinn.
And I love Bridgerton.
Bridgerton's
so
great.
Much. I haven't watched the first or the third season's part one yet.
I have. Amazing. I actually binged the whole thing to rewatch it in 2 days.
I also did that in preparation.
Amazing.
Still
so good.
Still is good.
What is your favorite one?
The second season was so, well, it's because you didn't expect to like Anthony that much.
I did.
But from the start, his mutton chops?
Kind of was into it.
Really?
The thing is, he's an arrogant man who knows what he wants and is the eldest child. I either see myself in him or I'm like, I mean, get after it. This is kind of hot.
But the Duke and Daphne were so, they were the most brilliant start to
timeless.
This show to take off.
Absolutely.
And they did it so well, and even with their tumultuous little relationship even to start, the I burn for you. Ugh.
Love. I think it was a different type of fake dating. I feel like when I hear fake dating, I think, oh, we're in high school and we're trying to get something out of each other. But this was like fake courting, technically, you know? Like
send me
Daphne
flowers.
Daphne was
the most,
you know,
expensive.
Protected from, like, well, she was actually like bolstered to be like the diamond and like even higher status diamond. Than whatever, and then he was protected from all of the
mamas.
Exactly. So I felt like it was a cute way of playing on fake dating.
And his confession in front of the queen that was like way realer than Daphne ever thought. When the person you love and find the most beautiful is also your best friend.
Obsessed.
I am still disappointed show wise that the Duke is no longer in it. And I saw a post recently and they're like, I forget the actor's name that plays Anthony. He is in all these big movies now, but still making appearances. And what is Mr. Duke of Hastings doing outside? He was in what? The the D&D movie.
He was so good in the D&D movie.
He was, but come on. You can come back.
I feel like reading the books will definitely let me have a different perspective. So I'm really excited to get those on my shelves. It just hasn't been like a priority because I'm kind of in like a book ban. I don't want to buy anything right now, even though I just bought a bunch of stuff for my Kindle. I was about
to say.
But no, like a physical book ban. I've been trying to like keep it to either Libby or ebook or like whatever, because I just don't have the space right now. So I'm like trying to not buy as many books.
And like I said, where miscommunication thrives, he didn't know that she didn't know that how babies are made.
Very true.
And that made me so mad that the mamas did not prepare their daughters at all.
No.
Like.
No, they did not.
Anyways, but those two, they're so cute.
I don't think I was ever prepared.
They're baby. My parents, I was just actually talking to my mom about this, how we never had the talk.
I was going to say, I didn't think I did either.
They just kind of, I never even was in health class in high school because I wanted to take art classes instead. So I did health and gym online. And so I could do choir and art.
Love.
And, well, I learned in middle school. I knew what stripping was before I knew what sex was because I watched Jersey Shore with my friend in the sixth grade. And she had a sister in college, so she educated us. We had the head, shoulders, knees, and tits. Knees and tits. Yeah, that's how I learned what the word tits was.
Right.
But they really don't prepare your daughter. We don't prepare daughters enough.
No. But kind of a good. I love them, that show. And so I'm super excited to read the book. Especially with all of the other stories. Season 3 definitely like sets up all of like a lot of the other siblings.
Penelope's new fit. What I care about. Oh, yeah, because I just need more of everyone.
Yeah. So, fake dating. Love fake dating. Such a good trope.
Very much.
Very much so.
Best. Our next one is coworkers to lovers. And this couple that I chose, Megan has yet to read the series, but
I've seen will. So much fan art. And
it's spoilers. Kaz. It's Kaz and Inej from Six It Grows. Leigh Bardugo, I've talked about them before. They're my favorite couple, one of them of all time, because frankly, they're so good and they're the best slow burn ever. That's bold. I know. But they're the best slow burn in my brain right now.
Right. What makes them coworkers to lovers?
So Inej was taken from her homeland and forced to work in a brothel, and Kaz Brekker worked for this gangster, and he was going to the brothel to get information, and Inej basically promised to be a little spy for him, and then he learned that she used to do acrobatics, so she's this flexible little sneaky girl, and so he convinced his boss to buy her so that she could work for him instead of being in a brothel, and she became his wraith. And, like, his shadow.
Oh, I love that.
And she was always, like, on the rooftops running next to him while he's, like, in the streets. And so they both had, like, a huge respect for each other. And then we have, like, the wound scene where he's, like...
I've seen pictures of that, yeah.
And he, like, freaks out when she's injured. And then...
So coworkers in the sense that, like, it's almost forced proximity.
Absolutely.
Like, they were, you know... together, and then
that
like,
kind of is what coworkers
through
coworkers.
Them working together, they like find this appreciation and love for each other, like overprotectiveness.
And she also kind of saw him as her savior a little bit.
Got it.
But he also would, if he couldn't walk to her, he would crawl. Like, and he's so thoughtful, and he would. I have little words because the emotions are too strong.
It seems like a really good book. Like. I don't, when I think of Kaz and Inej, I don't necessarily think coworkers to lovers, but it definitely is.
It definitely is. And here's the thing. There's actually not like a whole lot you get of them in the books even, but there's just like just enough. And then when you read a fan fiction after, it solidifies it. But the love was there before the fan fiction, but the fan fiction just gave me everything I wanted. Dealing with our demons, Raven Yen. on AO3. I almost said A23, and I was like A2D2. AO3. And it just picked up after Crooked Kingdom and gave you everything you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I subscribe to that more than I do what with Rule of Wolves and what happened there. But Kaz would protect her. Inez, she would also protect him. And, like, they're both strong.
Right.
And both traumatized from their pasts. And so they can work together to deal with their trauma and, like, respect each other's boundaries.
Right. Right. Which is not normal in, like, a co-workers to lover situation. And
push each other. Because Kaz has a thing where he, like, can't deal with touching.
Right.
Did you watch Shadow? Yeah. So, like, he has his touching thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she basically pushes him to go, I'll either have all of you or not any of you at all. And he has to, like, deal with his issues to be the man she needs. And he knows that. And it works.
I love Inej. She seems great already.
Oh, Inej Gaffa.
I can't wait. I literally have fan art in, like, an Instagram, like, folder that's titled, like, SO6 that I've just been saving for since I've started my Bookstagram, just because I'm like, I know I'm eventually going to read this and I'm just going to, like, pack it away.
The fan art is everything.
Love it.
No, absolutely. Anywho, the really good, my favorite for that. And there's a lot of coworkers to lovers out there.
I know. I'm curious if any of our dear listeners have any that are like...
Dearest gentle listeners.
Any that are like more... I don't know.
More.
Not that co-working. I'm going to read contemporary, but, you know, I'm curious like there how contemporary like coworkers to lovers would work.
I feel like a lot of contemporary coworkers to lovers break so many HR policies.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Except for, like, Love Theoretically by Allie Hazelwood.
Yeah.
Does not. Mm. Her books don't break HR policies.
That's good to know.
For the most part.
It's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Not, like, in the weird ways, you know?
Yeah, not in the ways that matter.
Blatantly. Maybe no.
Maybe not in the women's restroom.
Maybe no.
So our last trope that we decided to do is one of my other all-time favorites. And a couple that we have not talked about quite nearly enough.
Really?
Nor has the internet, if I'm being completely honest.
Really? I mean, okay, yeah.
They deserve even more.
They do.
We wanted to talk about the Grumpy Sunshine trope with Katniss Everdeen and Peeta Mellark from The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins.
And they also fit so many tropes.
Oh, we already had talked about. I mean, they fit the fake dating.
Forced proximity.
Technically, coworkers to let, well.
Coworkers, I mean, to lovers. Honestly, all of,
forced proximity. I mean, they are like the blueprint.
They really are.
And I say that even though it was like written not too long ago, but like the blueprint.
For our lives.
Right, right. Especially with like. The Sunshine being the male main character.
Mm-hmm. He's so golden retriever.
Love.
Bread boy.
Love.
And
makes her soft. It's so sweet.
And I recently saw a few posts about people hating on the ending of this isn't what Katniss would have wanted. And
yeah.
But then someone came back and said, the only thing Katniss ever wanted was for her sister to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
So when that's taken out of the picture... This was really, truly the best case scenario.
Right.
Because Gail's a piece of shit.
Absolutely. So I think, yeah, I've seen a lot of things like that where it's like Katniss never ever, like she said she never wanted children and like all of this other stuff. And there was never truly a happy ending and it would have been better if she just died. And in this one instance, I'm going to say that that honestly doesn't make sense. I am a person that hates happy endings. Doesn't hate happy endings. I like it better when it's realistic. This felt more real than anything else. Where Katniss still wasn't necessarily like happy with the choices she made,
yeah,
but chose to live a happy life with Peeta. And I think that was the moment she saw hope for the future.
And
having children was her having hope for the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And she had forced herself to work on her issues as she like looked at her babies and was like,
it gotta be better.
I gotta be better for you. Gotta be better. And he was precious. And the whole and real or like real or fake or what is it? Is real yeah. or
real
is
or real, fake?
Real or fake?
Yep. Real or not real?
Real or not real? I was like, that feels wrong in my head. Mm-hmm. But real or not real? Like they went through so much. They
agree. So Grumpy Sunshine, in especially, I feel like that's in the first two books where mm-hmm. like they're going through the trials of everything, and PETA is still trying to have like a positive attitude about just about anything
and trying to win or get Katniss to win
and be safe.
Yeah.
All he cared about was like Katniss's safety, mm-hmm. even without the rebellion that was happening. I mean, mm-hmm. that's why he didn't let Haymitch go instead of him, even though Katniss like begged Haymitch to volunteer for him, like all of the things. So, mm-hmm. And Katniss really was only grumpy because she only was living for her sister.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
Like there was nothing for her that she felt like was not bodily autonomy, but like, you know. I mean, you don't have control over your own life. What's also, the point of living?
Pregnancy trope.
Pete is just the one well done pregnancy trope.
Honestly, he's too he's too slick. He did that.
He's so charismatic,
but quietly. Mm-hmm. Like he's also a shy boy. Mm-hmm. But when he needs to put on the charm,
he's not like Finnick.
His favorite color is yellow for Pete's
orange.
Sake. Oh, I thought it was yellow.
Orange.
Oh, the sunset.
Yes. Orange like a sunset, not Effie's hair. I remember that
so
line
true.
Very specifically.
That's a very good line.
Mm-hmm. I love it. But yeah, no,
it
they
casted
are
casted perfectly.
Oh, I want to rewatch them again. I rewatch them like every few months, but it's just so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
I love it.
I'm trying to think of more. Another Grumpy Sunshine is another Allie Hazelwood book, which is Love Hypothesis, which mm-hmm. is based on the
Kylo Ren
fan fiction. And that stays true.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, it also is Coriolanus and...
Uh-huh.
We had this problem last time. What is her name? Lucy Gray.
Lucy Gray Blair.
I mean, that's Grumpy Sunshine.
Absolutely,
but, like, reversed.
But they didn't work out.
Negative.
Do you think that Lucy Gray survived?
Yes.
And who do you think she survived as? Do you think we saw her or met her in any of the movies?
No.
Not even the one that gave Katniss the pin. I saw that theory.
See, I don't think so. I don't think she would have stayed within the districts. Mm. I think that was the point of is complete and utter. It was the beginning of the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where like this is the beginning of a life without any freedom. I have no safety. Like I felt like in one way that was Lucy's way of like there is no hope.
Oh, from Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Right. And prequel. So then it's like the opposite of Katniss in the beginning of her story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like Lucy had so much hope and like ended up just like leaving and probably dying somewhere. You know what I mean? But I imagine it's outside the districts.
Oh, Grumpy Sunshine, Cassian and Nesta.
Also a Grumpy Sunshine. There are so many examples of this because it's a great trope.
It really, it's the whole yin to your yang, mm-hmm. balances opposites attract, that
absolutely
whole theory. And you know what, it has its weight in gold.
So what do you think we are in our situation?
Here's the thing, I feel as though the first thought would be Black Cat, Golden Retriever, mm-hmm. but we're not Grumpy Sunshine,
right?
And I do think Black Cat, well, you're not really a black cat. You'd be like a silver cat. You know?
Right.
You would be. Mm-hmm. One of those. Checkered, not checkered. You'd have a pattern.
Calico?
Yeah, you'd have a pattern.
Okay.
I would be a dog no matter what.
Right.
I got that dog in me. Oh, whoa, whoa. But.
Do so you feel like that's our dynamic?
That or for no. Well, and our tropes would be force proximity, enemies to lovers.
I was gonna say she falls first.
Roommates to lovers.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what our. I mean, what it would be tropes? Force proximity
for sure.
Death. just kidding.
what do you mean by that?
I don't know. Is forced proximity our only trope?
It can't.
I feel
be.
Like so many tropes are like centered around like love, and I don't. I mean, like I don't love you romantically. Maybe, maybe like.
Fine, I get it.
Oh, like found family, maybe. Mm. Found sisterhood, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Word. Because I don't consider you
look
my friend.
Look at the state you. I love Dairy Girls, by the way.
You're a lesbian?
Go back in the closet. I don't want to know. Me like you. Look at the state of you. I love Nicola Coughlin.
That's, I feel like that's us, actually.
That those is two us. That is.
Watch Dairy Girls on Netflix if you haven't.
It's
such a good
so funny.
TV show. I love. That's so great. I don't know. I feel like those are at least those two.
I would solidify cat dog as our trope.
Okay, yeah.
Because you're black cat.
I would say that I have enough qualities to
and
be
like,
black cat.
Witchy woo, and I'm running in a field of daisies, you know.
Right
exactly.
Very golden retriever.
Very. Saw a golden retriever yesterday. They're so cute. They're always smiling.
I know. I'm reading about Fleetfoot right now. I love that dog. Throw in a glass, man.
Throw in a glass is so good. If you want every trope, literally, Lorgan in a lead.
I know.
Every trope of all time.
Throw in a glass by Sarah Germain. So those were the tropes that we had for this episode. I'm sure we will come back with some more, but maybe that will give you an idea of what your next read will be. I know we have plenty that we talked about. So if you want any book with those tropes, I'm sure we'll come out with a long list of our recommendations for those tropes.
What are we reading right now? I'm not reading anything. I have Cinder, the first Lunar Chronicle by Marissa Meyer. I have yet to open the cover, but the most recent read was Fate, Inked in Blood.
Mm.
And that was an enjoyable read.
Right.
As much as we kind of act like ripped apart. Well, we didn't rip it apart, did we?
It was entertaining, but I don't think, like, I don't know. I don't feel like I ripped it apart too bad. I just told the truth.
This is my truth.
Yeah. I don't know.
But it was good. I liked it.
So Cinder is up next.
Cinder is up next.
I feel like you're going to really like it for the fact that you really like fairy tale retellings. I feel like this is going to be the one.
I wouldn't say I do like fairy tale retellings.
Really?
I don't really like fairy tale retellings.
Okay. What's one that you didn't like?
Hooked. I started it and said no.
I'm not a Peter Pan fan. So that.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm not drawn to if something is advertised as a fairy tale retelling.
Okay. That's valid. I don't know. I feel like you like.
But this feels different enough.
You like happy endings.
I do.
I feel like this is a good series for you to read that has that. While also you kind of, you read it and you kind of already understand where it's going because of the fairy tale.
Mm.
You don't know how it's going to get there, but you kind of are like, oh, that's that plot point.
Okay.
That's where it is. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how I felt reading it. I'm like, oh, that is such a weird way they did that, but that's so interesting.
I do like that.
Yeah. So that's what I mean by like, I think you're going to like something like that.
I like to anticipate because
that you
frankly,
do.
I hate surprises.
Yeah. I would never do a surprise party for you. Ever.
I would just sit there and be like, I would feel honored and loved that you did it, but I wouldn't be able to look forward to it. And I need that.
Exactly.
Then I like all short wire in my brain and like forget everything that happens.
I would be pissed.
Yeah.
If I had a surprise birthday party.
Yeah.
I want to look nice. I want to look snatched. And I would probably come see you with no makeup on.
Well, I think I would make sure you looked good. I would tell you before we went inside. I'd probably, if I was ever to do it, it would be like, before you leave, I would tell you, you know?
Oh.
You wouldn't know till the day of, but you would get.
That's thoughtful.
The morning, you know?
Right. Because I don't mind surprises. I just don't like when I'm.
Not
prepared.
Don't
like when I'm ready for a surprise. That's so stupid.
No, that's so real, though. Like, I saw someone got engaged and they were woken up by their best friend and told them that they were going to be proposed to that day. So they had like the morning to get ready.
Oh, I love that.
And I'm like, okay, that's a good way to do it.
Right.
If I was,
it's a wash day, I have like a 4 hour, like my hair has these many steps mm-hmm. for me to not look like ugly. Like I need to know beforehand.
That's valid.
Yeah.
You do need time to prepare.
I need time. I'm currently reading Once Upon a Broken Heart by Stephanie Garber. I don't know why I was having a hard time there. I kept thinking Stephanie Meyer, and I'm like, that is not it.
Nope.
So good. We were talking about this earlier, but it's such a I love the fates in her books. They're all connected because like the gods of the world are fates, but they walk among them like everyday people somewhat. Like they're like little tricksters pieces to them. So like the Prince of Hearts, or like the knave, or what, I can't remember his full name right now. But he like is the one that you call if you have something going on with love. And so our main character like struck a deal with him where it's about I mean this doesn't really spoil much, it's the beginning of the book, but her not betrothed, but this guy she liked was said to get married to her sister that day, and she's like, I need the wedding to stop, whatever. And so she made a deal with him, and so she has to fulfill 3 kisses of his choosing. But
interesting.
He can't kiss anyone or they die unless it's like his true love. Like that's like his curse.
Oh.
And so he'll go around and like kiss people, never knowing. And then those people die. So like his thing is like around that. And so she is like, yes, I'll make this deal with you. Like this man I love is more important than anything else and whatever. And so then she goes back and all of them are turned to stone. He stopped the wedding, but at what price?
Ah! Oh my gosh.
Oh, I love it. And she has pink hair. She's so sly. I love it. You would love them. Like, I'm so excited for you to get into Stephanie Garber and Marissa Meyer. Because I know they're different authors, but they write super similarly. Like, they have the same type of flair, if you will.
That sounds so good.
I will say, Stephanie Garber is much more whimsical. So I love, like... Her magic systems are so cool, man.
I'm so excited to get into Carvel, and
Carvel's so freaking
etc. good.
So freaking good. And I will say, you'll have to read Carvel before this one.
Yeah.
Now that I'm reading Once Upon a Broken Heart, like, yeah, you should read Carvel before.
Okay, so
so good.
Add that to the list.
To the our ever growing list, which we can't wait to tell you about next week.
Mm-hmm.
We have our summer helpfuls, so you'll get to hear. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Last Two Pages.
We love and appreciate you so much. And we'll see you on the next page, gentle readers.